waktu, ajal menjemputku. Takkan pernah ada sesalku untuk menunggumu. Aku harus
This is Voice of Indonesia with Newsline. Indonesian Ministry of Higher Education, Science and Technology together with the South Central Timor Regency Government is Nusa Tenggara Province signed a land grant document for the construction of Garuda Superior High School on Friday. In signing the land grant document, Minister of Higher Education, Science and Technology of the Republic of Indonesia, Brian Yuliarto, revealed Garuda Superior High School is one of President Prabowo Subianto's priority programs contained in Presidential Instruction of the Republic of Indonesia No. 7 of 2025, with the strategic objective of improving the quality of superior human resources and developing a science and technology ecosystem. Brian Yuliarto explained, the presence of Garuda Superior High School in South Central Timor Regency is a historic milestone in Indonesian education, where the school will later become a center for developing superior human resources in the East Nusa Tenggara and Eastern Indonesia regions, while also preparing the younger generation who are able to become ambassadors of knowledge at a national and global levels.
Jadi ini adalah tonggak bersejarah bagi dunia pendidikan di Indonesia, khususnya di Kabupaten Timur Tengah Selatan.
So this is a historic milestone for the world of education in Indonesia, especially in South Central Timor Regency and East Nusa Tenggara Province. Our hope is how talented students from the East Nusa Tenggara region or other surrounding areas, which are wider, can be facilitated to prepare themselves to become superior human resource who can later represent Indonesia as ambassadors of knowledge, ambassadors of superior students who will represent the red and white in the global and national
sebagai duta-duta pengetahuan, duta-duta pelajar unggul yang akan mewakili merah putih di kancah global maupun nasional.
Brian Yuliarto further explained the construction of Garuda Superior High School, which will be built in Su City, East Nusa Tenggara, is the first in Indonesia. He also said the government is targeting the construction of Garuda Superior High School in 20 locations throughout Indonesia, with the hope that all land grants can be determined this year. Indonesian Minister of Forestry Raja Juli Antoni officially released the 2025 graduates of State Forestry Vocational Schools during a ceremony held at a school in Makassar, South Sulawesi, attended by representatives from forestry schools across the country on Thursday. In his speech, Minister Raja Juli emphasized the importance of building a young forestry generation that is not only skilled but also has wide access to employment opportunities, part of Indonesia's national strategy to strengthen human resource development.
Ini bagian dari komitmen saya sebagai pembantu Pak Presiden Prabowo Subianto.
This is part of my commitment as a cabinet member under President Prabowo Subianto, who prioritizes and stresses the importance of human resource development. Therefore, within the authority I hold, I'll continue to support and improve the existence of state forestry and vocational schools in cities across Indonesia. This includes ensuring broad access for their alumni to work both within the ministry and in the private forestry sector.
Kota di Indonesia, termasuk di dalamnya memberikan akses seluas-luasnya kepada seluruh alumni SMK Kehutanan untuk dapat bekerja di lingkup kementerian maupun di sektor swasta bidang kehutanan.
The minister also reminded the audience that forests are not a legacy from past generations, but a loan from the future, an idea that reflects Indonesia's vision of sustainability and intergenerational responsibility. By strengthening vocational forestry education, Indonesia reinforces its commitment to building a green job ecosystem while preserving the environment on both a national and global scale. That was Newsline from Voice of Indonesia.
Kisah cinta. sederhana, kau buat merana. Bilang-bilang sayang, lalu hilang tanpa bayang. Sesuka diri, nyanyian hati, serenata jiwa yang lara sunyi.
Oh, maaf saya tidak ingin melukai.
Presents a song by Salma Salsabil. Aliyah Putri Mandaya, or better known as Salma Salsabil, is an Indonesian singer and songwriter. She has been rising to fame since winning Indonesian Idol singing competition in 2022. Previously, she had also participated in other talent search contests, but didn't make it to win. In 2023, Salma released a single entitled Bunga Hati, or Flower of My Heart, which became a hit at that time. In June 2024, she released another hit single entitled Boleh Juga. In this song, Salma collaborates for the first time with the trio of Ramadia, Ilman Ibrahim, and Anindyo Baskoro, who acted as songwriters and producers. The song Boleh Juga tells about feelings of attraction and an honest emotional connection with someone that she cannot have. Well, listener, here is Salma Salsabil with the song Boleh Juga.
Ku tak pandai berdusta, jujur saja kau boleh juga. Tak bisa ku pungkiri hatinya mentiap kau ada. Meski berlagak tak mau kau tahu, ku
learning about traditional beverage from all over Indonesia is never ending. One of them is the traditional Riau beverage, which has a unique name, namely Es Laksamana Mengamuk, which roughly translated means the outrage admiral. Even though the name is a little scary and strange, this Riau specialty is very, very fresh. It is actually an ice drink made from coconut milk combined with sugar and quenny mango. Es Laksamana Mengamuk is often seen during weddings and in the fasting month. When the weather is scorching hot, drinking it will make you feel refreshed. It is said that this typical Riau beverage is not only very refreshing, but also good for digestions. The high fiber content of quenny fruit can prevent constipation and other digestive disorders. Vitamin A contained in it is also good for your eyes and endurance. Quenny fruit is also able to meet daily iron needs.
Quote of the day. Patience has no limits. If there is a limit, it means you have no patience. That's a quote by Kiai Haji Abdurrahman Wahid, or familiarly known as Gus Dur, an Indonesian Muslim figure from the Nahdlatul Ulama. He served as the fourth president of the Republic of Indonesia from 1999 to 2001. And that's quote of the day.
Yeah. mungkin masih ada sisa wangiku di bajumu. Namun kau tampak baik saja, bahkan senyummu lebih lepas. Sedang aku di sini hampir gila. Kita tak temukan jalan, sepakat tak kiri setelah beribu debat panjang. Namun kau tampak baik saja, bahkan senyummu lebih lepas. Sedang aku di sini belum terima. Bongkat tangismu sore itu di pelukku. Nyatanya pergiku pun tak lagi mengganggumu. Apa sudah ada kabar lain yang kau tunggu? Sudah adakah yang gantikanku, yang kau khawatirkanmu setiap waktu? Cerita tentang apapun sampai hal-hal tak perlu. Kalau bisa jangan buru-buru, kalau bisa jangan ada dulu.
Of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Utilizing the flow of the Opak River and the rocks on the edge of the river, this tourist spot is very popular. The place is named Watu Kapal Tourism Park. Watu means rocks and kapal means boat or ship. It is so named because among the rocks there is one which is shaped like a boat. At Watu Kapal Tourism Park, visitors can do fun activities such as river tubing and cliff jumping from a height. To do this, of course, you must be able to swim and have guts. The distinctive cliff shapes, greenish, clear, and clean river water with natural plants on the cliff make the color combination very fitting and very beautiful. Besides that, the air is very cool. The shady trees becomes one unit of refreshing natural scenery. It feels incomplete if we visit this place without capturing the beautiful times there. Many promising photo spots that can be used for group photos and selfies. The location of the Watu Kapo tourism spot is in Kengotan Hamlet, Tremulyo Village, Piyungan District, Bantul Regency. It is approximately 13 kilometers from the center of Jogja City towards Wonosari and takes about 25 minutes to travel. Because this place is still relatively a new tourist spot, the manager has not yet charged visitors for entrance tickets. So, if you are in Yogyakarta, take the time to visit Batu Kapal Tourism Park that offers cliffs, natural, distinctive architecture made directly by nature and for humans to enjoy. Therefore, when visiting this place, make sure to keep the environment clean and not littering. Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia to the world.
Gemerlap pesta kota, seolah kita flamingo mengalun jiwa. Ku duduk terhanyut nuansa di sudut semarak Plaza Catalonia. Galas pasang mata menatapku manja, mengajak berdansa sapanya kiere. Dan mesu direction senorita, ku ingin kau ajak serta malam ini. Como si pronuncia ojuita, ingin ku nyatakan cinta sepenuh kata. Mungkin esok ku kan pergi, tapi ku berjanji pasti diriku kembali untuk cinta yang tertinggal di jantung Barcelona. Peluklah diriku mesra dalam cinta sebagai pengikat rindu. Akan ku kenang selalu cintaku di Barcelona. Siento mucho señorita, ku harus meninggalkanmu sejenak waktu. Hapuslah air matamu kini, dua hati tak terpadu satu janji. Oh, usahkan cerita malam yang tersisa, ku tak kuasa lagi. Melupakan pajak diri.
cinta yang tertinggal di jantung Barcelona. Peluklah diriku mesra,
Indonesia is coming up shortly. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
Dan jaya di lautan para milenium.
Those who were victorious at the sea is the first millennium where the Indonesian people, the Malays, none of Chinese who sailed. It was only after South could no longer access the Silk Route by land that they looked for trade routes by sea. That was in the 11th or 12th century. Before that, no, there weren't Chinese who sailed. Aren't you afraid of 8 to 9 meter waves? He said that to me. I said that in Indonesia, I've never seen waves of 9 meters. I want to see it. And he immediately shook hands with me. That's it, sir.
Saya bilang di Indonesia belum pernah saya lihat ombak 9 meter, saya kok pengen lihat. Langsung selamat saya, Pak. Jadi oke, dia bilang.
Kabel silap pinisi itu sepertinya muncul pada abad ke-19, sekitarnya tahun 1830-an, 1840-an.
Appeared around the 19th century in around 1830 to 40, and it refers to a type of sail that actually comes from Europe, which imitates the international term schooner catch or calf catch, which means a sail that is installed in the direction of the bow of the boat. It seems that these sails were first used in the western regions of the archipelago, such as Riau, Belitung, etc. Until the end of the 19th century, this type of sail was increasingly used towards the east. So the sail also arrived in Sulawesi, and here the sail was changed, which we know now as the Finnish sail.
ke-19, jenis layar itu makin banyak digunakan, makin ke arah timur. Sehingga akhirnya ide layarnya itu juga tiba di Sulawesi. Dan di sini pun layarnya diubah sedemikian rupa sehingga menjadi yang kita sekarang mengenali sebagai layar pinisi.
Indonesian people are challenged to become more resilient in facing life at sea. One of the communities that is able to run a shipping system and build ships is the Bulukumba community. However, the term Finisi became known in the 1950s.
Istilah Finisi itu secara umum baru muncul dalam cetakan, koran, dan sebagainya pada tahun.
The term Finisi generally only appeared in printing like newspapers and so on in the early 50s of the 20th century. In 1960, administration of the first Indonesian president Soekarno held a competition for boats to carry copra from Sulawesi to Jakarta. And in the newspaper, a question still arose about what Finisi boat is, because the term Finisi was not yet known to people at that time. Because in the fact, in the records of harbor master and so on, boats like that were still called palari. There was Palari Solompong, there was Palari Tongkolong. The terms Pinisi started being known in the 80s, especially after the Pinisi was brought to Vancouver. And there, the boats which were previously called Palari were then called Pinisi. So the term Pinisi, which now we really take pride in, is actually a creation after the Pinisi no longer existed.
Terutama setelah ada Pinisi Nusantara yang dibawa ke Vancouver, dan di situ, di Singapura misalnya, pulau-pulau yang sebelumnya dinamakan Polari itu mulai dinamakan Pinisi. Jadi istilah Pinisi yang sekarang ini begitu dibanggakan sebenarnya sesuatu ciptaan setelah yang namanya Pinisi itu sudah tidak ada lagi. Ini ingatan masyarakat tidak terlalu tepat. Ada cerita bahwa perahu yang seperti itu yang pertama kali dibangun di
Alai. People's memory are not very accurate, and there are stories that the first such boat in Ara was in 1900, but no one remembers who built it, for whom, and so on. And until World War II, in the Dutch newspaper and the harbor master reports and so on, all projects like they were recorded as Palari. So the use of the word Pinisi is something new, something that hasn't been around for too long. But with the motor and Indonesian sailing boats, all of that disappeared in the 70s. This is a memory that people are quite proud of. When Pinisi Nusantara was brought to Vancouver, and more travel companies from abroad ordered boats like that. The term Pinisi was brought back as a proud memory of boat builders and sailors from the archipelago. The use of the word Pinisi to generalize all types of boats is actually a deflation of Indonesia's boat manufacturing wealth, because in Indonesia there are hundreds of types of boats and they all have their own names.
Istilah Pinisi itu diangkat kembali sebagai suatu ingatan kebanggaan pembuat perahu dan pelayar dari Ponto Bahari itu. Penggunaan kata Pinisi untuk memukul rata semua jenis perahu itu sebenarnya suatu suatu deflasi kekayaan pembuatan perahu Indonesia, karena di Indonesia ada ratusan jenis perahu yang semua punya nama tersendiri.
Pinisi became known worldwide since its first expedition to Vancouver, Canada in 1986, where one of the crew members is still sailing today.
Mungkin dari awal, waktu itu yang saya cerita tadi,
at that time, from the start, I remember it was in 85 when my team entered Galangan, and then I said I wanted to come to Canada. I hadn't applied it yet. Finally, after a long time, Mr. Felipe, a Frenchman who was watching us as a witness to who accepted the people, I said that you're going home, right? And at that time, many of others didn't come. I went first. So then he said, do you want to come to Canada? And I said, yes, sir. If you still need more people. Then he said, you're not afraid of waves 8 to 9 meters, he said. The same to me. Then I said, in Indonesia, I've never seen 9 meters wave. I wanted to see it. We immediately shook hands, so it was a deal. At that time, I was on the machine and also on the sail. There were also 4 people from Tanah Biru also come with me. I asked to this Navy man, how many meters are the waves? Oh, this is only 7 meters. How is the 10 meters one like? I said. Relying on 2 masts and 7 developed sails called Pinisi, the wind has been the main force for Indonesian sailors since the 12th century to sail to their destination. If we sail, we just play with the sails according to the wind. Maybe there will be a change in the wind for several hours, like here yesterday. Sailing without wind for 2 hours could take one day because of the wind. Well, if you use an engine, you can calculate the speed and at what time we will arrive. Well, if we just play with the sails, we cannot predict when we will arrive.
Kapal pinisi di Banan ini asalnya dari Arab, dulu kan Pak, Sulawesi Selatan.
The Spinisi ship was built originally from Arab Bulukumba, Sulawesi. Starting from the year before independence in 1945, after independence, it already existed before. From generation to generation, we have been able to make this ship without any finished drawings. It has been passed down from our ancestors until now. We do it without any technical knowledge. It is just based on experience and it is recognized throughout the world.
Tanpa ada bilang teknik bagaimana, dan di segi pengalaman saja, nah, diakui oleh seluruh dunia. Kalau dengan pinisinya 1 tahun lebih. Tapi kali ini kami bikin di pantai dia ke pantai Anjuran.
With the Pinisi, it took more than a year, but this time we make it on the Losari Beach. It is the fastest one because in just 2 months and a half. Has been like this with 2 units with 25 people working. Yes, ironwood, BT wood, and teak wood. It only needs 3 types of wood in terms of its strength. In the sea, you can make just any kinds of wood. I used to have finishing made from BT wood, but the scarcity of BT wood forced me to use it only for the ship purpose. Now I cannot do it anymore. The deck is made of teak wood.
Sekarang tidak bisa lagi karena sudah berkurang bisa untuk patetuan. Deknya ini kayu jati. Alhamdulillah, papang til papangnya disusun, kesatuatin.
The shoots, the planks are arranged one by one. Then they go up here. After the body is finished, then the tusks are installed. Once the tusks are installed, the road is installed, the bottom is then the gutter, then the floor, then the room. The room has all the walls and partitions made. After this, it has been put on the hub. This is lowered, then the mast is made. The mast is then put on the hose rope. The mast rope, then the sail is put on. That's it.
Tali apa? Tali sering. Tali tian. Nampak belakang. Baru pasang layarnya. Begitu.
The system and calculation for making Finnish sailing ships have been known to people of Arab village Bulukumba since 19th century. However, according to a research conducted by German historian Horst Lippner, only 12 Lemo-Lemo people knew the shipbuilding system. The system is named Tatatalu.
Itu dari rumusnya begini.
That's the formula. So this is how we are ships experts, Wandi Talupi. The important thing is that we know the length, width, and height, that this is 6 meters, the length is 30 meters, the height is 3 meters. They keep installing it, and then it will be right when it hits 6 meters. Indeed, we already have experience in that aspect without saying that it is balanced. It is already balanced because it is our technique, our experience, so that it is precise up to 6 meters without any writing about so many or so. Each one works, each one is an expert.
Ada satu hal dan itu intinya dari warisan dunianya itu, yaitu.
There is one thing that is essence of world heritage, namely what we can call a formula for making it. Many people say that boats are made without drawings and so on, and that is actually not true. There is a formula that is not made into a drawing but made into various sizes which are recorded above the gorge. There are various bangli that are used with signs that determine the measurements, for example, the location of the pegs in the hall, the length of the planks, the location of the frame, and so on. Those who will still inherit this knowledge today are the descendants of the Lemo-Lemo people. They seem to have a formula called Tapapalu, which can produce boats up to 14 meter long. PLM boats, or whatever boats were called Pinisi in the 70s, were much bigger. So there is an impression that the Ara people at some point in 1930s to 1950s created a new manufacturing formula called Tata Apa, which could produce larger boats.
Jadi ada kesan bahwa orang Ara pada suatu saat tahun 1930-an sampai 50-an menciptakan satu rumus pembuatan yang baru yang dinamakan Tata Apa yang bisa menghasilkan perahu yang lebih besar. Membangun suatu perahu itu adalah suatu hal yang sangat-sangat rumit. Secara populer, perahu layar itu diakui sebagai benda ciptaan manusia.
Building a boat is very, very complicated things. Popularly, the sailboat is recognized as the most complicated human creation that has existed before the Industrial Revolution in the 18th century. This means that throughout human history, nothing more complicated has been built than a sailboat. If we compare the parts of number of objects in this boat, whatever there is, as far as I know, is 100 times more than a cell phone. And they all have to function the same as cell phone. If you install one small part wrongly, the cell phone won't work. It's the same as if boat is installed incorrectly. One small part of the boat will not sail. And there is another point there. Boat is not something rectangular, but it created through a curve. The curve must be harmonious. If the curve is crooked, the boat will not sail. Maybe someone remembers in high school we are taught how to calculate the curve F from X, which is the most complicated, right? Maybe those who have gone through it have all said, well, this is very difficult, but the boat can only function if the curve is harmonious. The curve can be calculated in that way. So the knowledge to create curves has been going on in the archaeology for 1,000 years. And the way of conceptualizing curves is not much different from shipwrecks from the 10th century to boats built in the mid-20th century. These things are very complicated, so they are not for public consumption because they are too complicated. But in order to deepen them and make them something to be proud of, things like that should be made more public, put forward more to the general public so that they are not reduced to only Pinisi.
Cara mengkonsepkan kurva-kurva itu tidak jauh berbeda dari kapal-kapal karam yang dari abad ke-10 dengan perahu-perahu yang dibangun pada pertengahan abad ke-20. Hal-hal itu amat-amat rumit, sehingga bukan menjadi ini baru konsumsi halaya kerana, wah, memang terlalu rumit. Tetapi untuk apa ya, memperdalamnya dan menjadikannya sesuatu yang bisa dibanggakan. Hal-hal seperti itu semestinya memang lebih diumumkan, lebih di kedepankan kepada khalayak ramai supaya itu tidak direduksi atas ini si doa.
Datang Which economic sectors will grow in Indonesia this year? Here is the opinion of Gunawan Benjamin, an economist.
The economic sector that I think that will be helped, or maybe the development in that still growth in 2025 is agriculture, because this is the defense economic sector, and then food and beverage accommodation. This is because we know that the government have a program for Makan Bergizi Gratis, yeah, or MBG. Mm-hmm. I think this is one of the policy that will push the domestic consumption, and the rest, of course, commodity sectors such as palm oil, coal, or nickel. That's it.
The complete dialogue with Gunawan Benjamin is available in VOI Talk, Uncovering Indonesia's Investment Potential, on our YouTube channel, VOI Official.
Listener, in this edition of Music Corner, I'm going to present a Keroncong song entitled Menikahimu, or Marry You, by Keroncong Kremes. The song created by Indonesian noted musician Yovie Widianto was popularized by music group Kahitna and released in 2002. This song is perfect to be one of romantic songs for couples who are about to get married. The song not only talks about falling in love, but also about commitment, loyalty, and the journey of life together. Well, listener, here is the Keroncong version of the song Menikahimu by Keroncong Kremes. Happy listening.